Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, June 4th, 2014. Wendy Wilson normally joins us this first segment of the program, but she did have a previous engagement, so you're stuck with Al and myself for the whole hour today. And so, good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody. I don't understand how Wendy can have an engagement. I thought she was married.
She has a previous appointment.
All right, a previous appointment.
A previous appointment. So, that is the deal today. And so, let's just go right into the market today. We have gold. You know, it does have a tendency to wear you down. And again, it's a great time to be buying. If you're buying at this level, good for you. You have gold down at $1.40 today at $12.44. You have silver down, just basically unchanged at $18.90. Platinum up 5 at $14.41. And palladium down 1 at $840. USDX today, of course, is trading stronger. 0.12 at 80.66, and I believe the I'll just comment on that later. I lost my whole screen, just went down, Alfred. And I
that's disturbing, isn't it? It's one of those things where you feel. See, you're afraid people are going to think it was you.
Oh,
they're going to think that you did something wrong.
And I don't even like to address this, you know, because people shouldn't know that I lost my whole screen. But anyway, you have the USDX today up 0.12 at 80.66. I think I already said that. Mm-hmm. And the paper markets today, we have the Dow up 15. And, of course, the breaking news on Wall Street today is the S&P is reaching another record close as the U.S. stocks tick higher. But I really do believe the volume has very light of late. But the Dow was up 15 points today at 16,737. The NASDAQ up 17 at 42.51 and the S&P up 3 at 19.27. 10-year yield is going like a rocket to the moon, 2.61. It was just a week ago, a little over a week ago, it was 2.41. So that is certainly edging higher. trying to get more people to be buying. So, you know, when you have the stock market, they're happy with the stock market. It's, you know, people are so, I don't know, fickle or whatever. I mean, it was just 2 weeks ago, the fear factor was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, there was so much fear in the market. Now it's back to greed, and just goes to show you how quickly people can turn. It'll turn on a dime. And
well, you're just talking, but it is volatile. That's the implication. There is volatility there. If it's going to swing back and forth between fear and greed, and, you know, it's almost like a schizophrenic or something like that, talking to itself. It points to volatility. It points to instability.
Points that it doesn't mean anything, because when the markets are rigged, you can come out with all kinds of records and thoughts and so forth. And when you have a strong rigged market, you know, even charts, you know, charts are great.
I don't think so. I don't pay any attention to them, really. If the market is rigged, and I believe it is, what difference do charts make?
Charts don't mean a thing. The only degree charts mean is sometimes you can have you can kind of see a trend developing, perhaps.
Well, that's the whole idea behind them. I get that, and there's a limit to how much manipulation can go on. You can't manipulate everything all the time. There's a certain amount of reality in the markets. There's a certain amount of, you know, some reality there. But given the influence of manipulation, I don't see that the charts are particularly valuable. Because someone is arbitrarily doing things. And they're picking a number. And today they say the number is 500. The day after that they say it's 700. No, a week after that they say it's 300. Now, how do you chart that? The idea behind the charts is that you are catching a collective trend. The people, as in an aggregate sense, I think the price of gold should be 13. Somebody thinks it should be 1,200. Somebody else thinks it should be 1,800. We take an average. It shows up on the chart. Right? But when one relatively small group is manipulating those numbers, the whole idea behind charts becomes irrelevant. It no longer represents a collectivist, an aggregate number. It's someone's arbitrary number, and blah, blah, blah. Then you can't rely on it. So what do you do? Again, you go back to fundamentals. You know, we can see the price of gold dropping, and we've got $50 down here in the last week or 10 days. And it's the sort of thing that's disconcerting when you see it. We would all prefer the price to rise. But let's suppose that the price of gold fell to $1 an ounce. And everybody say, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. The price of gold is only $1 an ounce. And I'd be saying, yay, because if gold was only $1 an ounce, I could buy several thousand ounces of gold every single month. As long as it stayed at that low price, I would love to see the price of gold fall to $1 an ounce. And of course, it's never going to happen. We all understand that. It's never going to, but it illustrates a point. It really does. As the price falls, it really does create a buying opportunity. Think about it. How much gold would any of you in the audience buy if the price fell to $1,000 an ounce? Would you sit back and say, oh, that's ridiculous. I can't. The gold is done. It's finished. Or would you say, you know, get the pickup truck, Martha. We're going to the dealer, and we're going to buy ourselves a half ton of gold. It's not a terrible thing. We would certainly prefer if gold was rising in price. But the truth of the matter is, there's a silver lining, there's a gold lining in the falling price, and everybody knows it. We talk about it. Say, yeah, it makes a better deal. You get a better price. You can buy low, which is what you're supposed to do, but hard to throw your heart over the bar, in a sense, and get behind that. We are, as a herd species, we want to buy high. All right? That's when we feel most confident. When the price is excessively high, that's when we feel most confident. When it's low, we have our doubts.
There's two anticipated reports coming out this week. The first one, of course, is the European Central Bank. Tomorrow they're supposed to release the monthly monetary policy meeting reports. And, of course, everyone is expecting the bank to announce some sort of a fresh monetary policy stimulus measure. And, of course, the many believe that the ECB refinancing rate will be reduced by around 10 or 15 basis points, as well as a reduction in the deposit rate to just below zero. And it's also, everyone is anticipating the non-farm payrolls growth is coming in this Friday on the U.S. jobs report. That figure is supposed to be lower than the 215,000 figure expected for Friday. That was the ADP's report that came out. So, and again, anything that it should show, if they do not match up to the expected, the ADP report today was 179 jobs for May. So if the official report for the non-farm payrolls is around that level, it should be bullish for the gold and silver markets, but we'll just have to wait and see. And, of course, the U.S. dollar, we've hit a two-month high this week on that dollar, and we'll just see how it goes as we go forward. So the Beige Book came out today. The Federal Reserve came out, and, of course, I mean, Al, you know what they said. Well, the economy. Retailer in the U.S. to offer a credit card using a fraud deterring microchip. Walmart, of course, owns Sam's Club, and they're going to beat Target and a lot of the other credit card processors as far as putting microchips into your credit card. And figures, if you look at the type of clientele that, and I'm not saying anything bad about it. I mean, I go to Walmart, but, you know, people will think it's a good thing to have a microchip in your credit card. So,
well, they probably will. I mean, if it really does deter fraud, and I don't know that it really does. We've had the reports of millions of credit cards, the information on credit cards being captured, hacked into, stolen, tens of millions in single instances. Now, are these chips going to be able to prevent that kind of theft, or are they merely going to be able to prevent someone from using your card who isn't authorized to do so? I don't really see how these chips are going to easily prevent that fraud. I don't know if they're going to prevent hackers or not. I'm going to suppose that they will, but I don't yet understand how that's going to happen.
Well, again, I'm a believer that the negative impact on having your card chipped is going to be far worse than any of the benefits. I mean, people have their credit cards hacked all the time, and I don't think the chip is going to prevent that. You know, people, and how does it help the merchant? It might give the merchant a little bit of better press, but then again, I mean, anybody who's ever had a charge on their credit card, it just gets wiped off. The client isn't responsible for it. And we really haven't heard all those 200 million people that had, or 200 million clients that Target had the fraud around Christmas time. What negative impact did it have? I mean, we haven't heard of, you know, how many millions or billions of dollars were stolen or taken, or how many TVs were purchased So I'm not quite so sure the fraud and the hacking into these accounts are as severe as what they pretend it is. I don't know.
Well, it's one of those things. If you steal the information for a million people, what are you going to do with it? I mean, it's there become limits. You can only use so much information. It's like the National Security Agency. They spy on everybody, but in the end, they've got so much information. What are they going to do with it? It's a haystack of information. You're still looking for only a couple of needles.
I mean, that's what it's all about. It's all about targeting your client, monitoring their purchases. You know, sales brochures will be headed to each person for what they buy, and to manipulate that person into buying and coming back. That's what it's all about. It's just
I'd like
disgusting.
To see what those chips are supposed to do.
Hey, if it doesn't work, then we'll just chip your wrist.
Well, we'll have Chips Ahoy.
Chips Ahoy.
Yes. Maybe we'll have chocolate chips or something. Maybe they'll make the chips out of chocolate. And in a worst-case scenario, you may not be able to use your credit card, but perhaps you could eat it like a confection. What do you think, Mel?
No, I don't know.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. We got a question in. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush commented last week that the act of illegal immigration wasn't a felony, but rather an act of love. Well, of course, Jeb is right on because he needs the illegal alien votes in his bid for the White House in 2016, and the illegal aliens are crossing the Rio because it's love at first sight of the USG's great welfare support.
Well, Jeb is an idiot. Jeb is a moron, an act of love. You know, if somebody actually, if we had any congressmen, if we had any senators, if we had any governors who actually loved this country and the people in it, they would do what they could to prevent this invasion by illegal aliens, because it's not going to help us. You know, we're already having a problem. We have a significant number of people unemployed. Government claims it's down in the neighborhood of 6%. we have other reports that suggest it's closer to 20%. Depends on how you calculate, but it's still a significant number, whatever it is. How is that problem improved by allowing a bunch of illegal aliens to come into this country? We're going to only add to the supply of labor. They're going to take jobs at low wages. It's going to support, it's going to increase unemployment for people who actually belong here. It's not going to help anyone. And then on top of that, we go through this nonsense where we try to speak in push too, if you want to speak in Spanish or something like that. We are killing this nation. And I'm not arguing. My criticism is not against the Mexicans. All right? I don't blame them for coming up here. I don't blame them for coming into somebody's house. If you leave the door open and your money spread out on the floor, you can't be surprised or shocked if somebody comes in and they steal your money. It's the same thing in this country. If you leave the door open and you're going to let criminals enter and you're not going to do anything about it and say it's an act of love, well, maybe it's an act of love if they come in your house and steal your TV, your flat-screen TV, or the cash in your wallet. That's an act of love, too. I mean, it's just the whole thing is monstrous, and what bothers me is finding politicians who will actually stand up and do what's right for the United States of America. And they're not easily found. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We got some great specials coming in on Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold pieces. The price on those would be $1,395. That's just a little bit over. And we do have a very limited supply on these. And that's just the... less, again, than $100 of a bullion gold coin. So 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188 on Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold pieces. I got a phone call today from someone who wanted me to begin selling the Graham cards. They sell them for $65, $75 a gram. And I said, no.
Let me understand something. They're selling for $65 or $70 per gram. And they say it's a gram card, meaning there is only 1 gram of gold in the card.
That is my understanding.
Okay.
That is my understanding. I could be wrong, and if I find...
No, that's probably right. I was getting it straight in my mind. I know we've had those other cards where you allegedly break off a little chunk of gold.
These are not the Valcambe bars.
All right.
These are the Graham bars, and I saw prices for, let me see if I can find here, yeah, I don't have the exact price, but they're fairly expensive, I believe. But we figured it out, and you can pretty much buy a 1/10 ounce gold eagle coin for, if you purchase 2 of these grams or 3 of these grams, you could purchase a regular coin. And the pitch to me was, well, we're here to help the little people, the people that don't have a lot of money. And it's like, well, why would you sell these to people who have little money? Because the people that have little money can buy silver, which is far better deal for them,
yeah.
Or they can save and get a real coin instead of a gram. The majority of the people in this country, and the idea is this gram you'll be able to use to barter. Most of the people in this country wouldn't have a clue how to barter with a gram of gold.
Yeah.
So again, they're not helping the person who has little. It's all a multi-level marketing pitch, and the people that will benefit are the people at the top of this MLM. And again, I said no, and oh, it sounds great. And you know, some of the people that are getting involved, I know them, and they're not bad people, but they're not helping. And this is what people will hear: oh, we're here to help you. And that is nothing to, in my view, not the truth. They're only helping themselves. And they use this, we're helping other people, to satisfy, because they know, they really know the downfall of purchasing by grams and getting involved with multi-level marketing schemes. It's a pyramid.
Well, that's what happens. And the reason people get into it, it's not just a question of having people who are perhaps a little bit, you know, whose morals, ethics, are worth of a little bit of criticism for selling these products because they're overpriced. It also goes to the people who buy the product because the idea is you get into multi-level marketing and you can get rich. Now, that's true. You can in some instances. Some people can. Some people do great in it. I understand that. But what I'm trying to illustrate is the buyers are not simply motivated by, gee, I need to get some gold that would protect me during difficult times. Their fundamental motivation is greed. I can get rich. There's nothing wrong with that necessarily, but we live at a time when that's a dangerous attitude, in my opinion. I think you're more important. You want to preserve wealth right now is perhaps more important than trying to acquire more. Huh? Try to preserve what you've got simply because there may be problems coming our way that are going to be, it'll have a serious adverse impact on all paper denominated debt instruments.
A gram gold bar, they're selling for $73.95. Okay. And it can be broken down to an eighth of a gram for $17. I mean, folks, if all you have is $17 to buy gold, you probably shouldn't be buying gold if that's all you have.
That's probably.
I mean, there's other things. I mean, silver would be far better of a purchase for you. And well, I know some of these.
Gasoline might be a better purchase.
Just exactly. Put some gas in your car. Food, water, filters. Because I'll guarantee you, if you only have $17 to buy an eighth gram, you probably don't have enough water or food stored. So again, and I don't mean anything bad or negative, and some of these people I know, and I think they, you know, they might mean well, and there isn't anything wrong if you can do something like a MLM, multi-level marketing, and become, you know, make some money at it. What I have a problem is they're not being honest about it. And that's my problem. They're not being honest about it. And so beware, it's a gimmick. That's all it is, people, is a gimmick. And the dealers that are selling this for $74 for a gram or $17, they'll turn you and churn you into something else, and you'll end up paying a lot more. And it'll take you weeks, if not months, to get your product. So just be careful out there. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And it takes 3.1 grams to equal a 10th ounce. So if they're selling these 1 grams for $74, I mean, that's $220. I mean, you can buy a 10th-ounce Gold Eagle at these levels for $140, $145. So... Okay. What's next,
Sal? I'm absolutely certain. I guess we can do Bergdahl. Yeah, matter of fact, if you just do this right now, I was just starting to do a calculation on a calculator, not in my own mind, doing it in the calculator. If it's true that 3.1 grams
is true.
To a tenth of an ounce,
it is true.
If that's correct, then there's 31 grams in an ounce.
Correct.
All right, if that's the case, and those grams are being sold for Did you say 75 bucks an ounce?
74.75, yes.
Well, let's make it 75, just to make it simple for the calculator. That means the price you're paying per on an ounce of gold is $2,325.
Mm-hmm.
That's $1,000. It's more than $1,000, more than the price of gold is right now on for conventional coins. You are overpaying the actual gold content in your little gold cards, whatever you want to call, whatever they're calling them. You're paying out, you know, you can look at it and you can buy gold yourself, get a coin for $1,250, $1,275, $1,300, whatever, get a bullion coin now. I suppose you can pick them up in the neighborhood of $1,300 each, or you can get these little cards and pay $2,300 for the same amount of gold. You're overpaying by $1,000 an ounce. How does that help the little people? I don't see that. I don't have much imagination when it comes to seeing how that helps the little guys. Here, let's talk about Bergdahl.
Bergdahl.
Oh, yep, Bergdahl. We've got...
Yeah, because I know we're going to disagree, but go ahead, Al.
You don't know whether we are or not.
I know we are. Go ahead.
Bergdahl is a man who was captured back in 2009 by the Taliban in Afghanistan. He is America's only remaining prisoner of war.
Is he really a prisoner of war?
Well, he was. Well, that was what he was.
That's what they designated him to be.
There's a bunch of things to be debated here. There's a bunch of things to be debated, but he was captured. Then he's released. Obama cut a deal and released him. And we might have sat back and initially thought, hooray, we're getting our last POW back from Afghanistan. And this is cause for celebration. And this guy is some kind of a hero, perhaps. And then we got a little more news and we get into it a little deeper and we find out, nope, maybe the man deserted his unit before he was captured by the Taliban. And now we have to wonder, is this guy a hero? Is he a deserter? Is he a traitor? What is this guy really? All right? And there's a problem here. And there's a series of articles that deal with it, and I will read a couple excerpts from some of them, and they go through time where we see what's happening here. New York Times reported in Bergdahl's vanishing before capture angered his unit. Sometime after midnight on June 30th, 2009, PFC Bo Bergdahl left behind a note in his tent saying he had become disillusioned with the Army.
I thought he was a sergeant.
He's a sergeant now because they continued to promote him while he was in captivity.
Is that how he became a sergeant?
That's how a lot of people become. You're all in captivity. I've been there. The Army's captivity for all of them. All military are promoted while in captivity. Any case, he left behind a note saying he'd become disillusioned with the Army. He did not support the American mission in Afghanistan and was leaving to start a new life. He slipped off the remote military outpost in Paktita province on the border with Pakistan and took with him a soft backpack, water, knives, a notebook and writing materials, but left behind his body armor and weapons. Startling, given the hostile environment of his outpost.
Unless he knew what he was walking into.
No, it doesn't. He didn't know what he was getting into.
I disagree.
Why does anyone who's deserting leave a note behind? Why does anyone claim to be disillusioned with the Army? I mean, it's just, and I'm leaving to start a new life. Where? In Afghanistan? What I'm trying to get to is this. There, when you see that, again, he's leaving to start a new life, and when he leaves, he doesn't take any weapons with him, doesn't take any body armor, he's just going to go wander out into the desert or wherever they are, right, with his notebook and some writing materials and a couple of knives and some water and a soft backpack. What I'm trying to get to is this guy was almost certainly mentally ill at the time he deserted. You can't find deserters that are going to leave a note, all right? You can't find deserters who say they're leaving to start a new life. Where? How are you going to get back home from Afghanistan if you don't stick with the military? You know, none of it makes sense. The guy, to my mind, was not hitting on all eight cylinders. All right? He had a problem, and he's mentally ill. And this is an important point, because if he was mentally ill, the military, there's other articles in here that talks about the Army understood. They knew where he was. And they had multiple opportunities during the 5 years that he was a prisoner where they could have sent troops out to rescue him. But they declined to rescue him. And the reason they declined is because they didn't want to take a chance on getting some soldiers killed trying to rescue a guy who they believed was a deserter.
But, Al, if there are articles and families that are saying their boys were killed going after and looking for this person.
No, they weren't going to rescue him. They were looking for him.
They were looking for him
because he was missing, and they not exactly.
Lives were lost.
No, they didn't know where he was. They didn't know where he was at this point.
He wasn't a kid, he was a man.
Later on, the military admits that they had knowledge. They knew where he was. They knew how many people were even guarding him. But they didn't bother to try to rescue this guy. Now, because, again, the idea is they didn't want to lose any lives because they thought this guy was a deserter. But what if he was mentally ill? Then he's just a wounded warrior. What if he's come down with post-traumatic stress syndrome? What if he has shell shock, is what they used to call it back during World War II? He's been in war, and for whatever reason, and maybe he was predisposed to mental illness before he ever got into the Army. I don't know. But if we can believe this report from, I believe it was New York Times, it suggests the guy says he was disillusioned. He left a note. He's going to start a new life? That's crazy. This guy was, I think he was off his nut. And if that's the case, he was abandoned by the military for the 5 years. They could have rescued him, and they declined because they thought he was a deserter. But what if he was mentally ill? Now what? Is this guy a hero? Is this guy a goat? Is he a traitor? Is he merely a tragic figure? Right? There are strange things going on here, and the way this is going to unfold, Obama's taken a lot of heat on this for bringing him out and trading one American for five Taliban who've been kept for 12 years down in Guantanamo. Now, is that a fair trade? Is it a bad trade? Is Obama a terrible negotiator? Should he held out for a couple of camels and some goats to go along with Sergeant Bergdahl? Or is it just five Taliban who are over the hill? They're old, they're fat, they're soft. They're not going to do much anymore. They're a little bit of a prize. They say, hooray, we got some of these old guys back here. But are they really, do they pose a danger? I don't know. I don't have an answer on that. But what I'm trying to get to in part is that everyone is jumping on this. And Bergdahl is going to be spun. His story is going to be spun. The military is going to have to prove that he was a bad guy, and therefore it was okay for them not to rescue him. Obama, I don't know what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to make sure Bergdahl keeps his mouth shut. Right now he's allegedly, last I heard, he's being held in Germany where he's having some sort of health care. I don't know what's going on, but I can't help but suspect that someone is trying to give him a tune-up after 5 years of being held in custody by the Taliban. He is now perhaps even more crazier than he was when they picked him up. They're going to have to give him a tune-up. What's he going to say when he gets in public, when he reaches a microphone where he can reach the American people? Some people say he's become a Muslim. I don't know if that's true or false. I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if it's just a crazy rumor. But what is he going to say? And if he says something contrary to the best interest of the United States, it's going to make Obama look like even more of a chump than he already does. And what if it turns out that he is mentally ill? How is the Army going to explain that they did not go rescue him? They're going to have to try. There are at least people in the military who are and they anticipate he's going to be tried for desertion. But suppose he was mentally ill, at least at that time, maybe all of this time. I've seen the video that was released by the Taliban up on the internet, picture of him, and the man doesn't, when he went to the Black Hawk helicopter and climbed in and took off, he doesn't look happy. He doesn't look well.
No, he was leaving his people. Maybe he didn't want
to leave.
No,
he was warned. He was warned not to come back. He was warned if he came back to Afghanistan, he wouldn't get out alive. They aren't his people.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, neither do I, but we'll find out. And it's not a simple situation. We're going to have to break. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. I'll be back in a moment.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Do we want to go deeper into the Bergdahl story, Melody, or do you want to?
Sure, we do. And I want to give out the phone number if anybody would like to give us a call on what they think. 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. Give us a call and let us know. Mentally ill? Traitor? Did he walk off? Did he deserve to be rescued?
That's the question on this thing. There are a lot of issues, and part of what I'm trying to get to on this is this guy, to my mind, is simply an incredible tragedy. And part of the tragedy is that he has become a political issue all by himself.
You can't call him a tragedy until we know what the truth is. It was interesting.
Call him a tragedy. Spent 5 years in a Taliban jail. Prison.
How do you know,
right?
He was in a jail and a prison?
Well, maybe he was at the Monte Carlo talking to Princess Monica.
If he converted, I mean, you don't know.
No, that's true. Don't know.
He
but
didn't
give
look
the information ill. That is available now. The military itself has admitted they knew where he was being kept. And they didn't suggest he was down on the Riviera. They knew where he was kept, and they knew how many guards they had around him. And they, nevertheless, they chose not to go rescue him because they didn't want to take a chance on getting more soldiers killed to save a guy that they described as a deserter. But what if he's just mentally ill?
And what if he is a deserter? We don't know yet. So this,
well, my point
this isn't a tragic story yet.
Everybody assumes he's a deserter in a classic sense. He just made up his mind. And I'm reading that article from the New York Times, and it doesn't make any sense.
And you have to remember, it is the New York Times.
So what?
And you know how they wish-wash their policies based on
certain regardless,
stories.
There's some things that you see,
and that was
the
very
they
first,
have a ring of truth to them.
That was one of the very first articles that was produced.
I have no doubt. All right.
So
the astonishing
story has changed.
The New York Times, yeah, the story is changing. It's evolving all the time. And Bergdorf or Bergdahl is becoming almost irrelevant to his own story.
And
again, I think he's being kept in Germany. I don't know if he still is. He was being kept for an indefinite period of time for some sort of health care. I think he's getting a tune-up, a mental tune-up, or at least try to bring him to a point where he's told, look, you better keep your mouth shut when you get back to the United States. Do I know that to be true? No, I do not. I speculate. I don't
know.
I'm
sure there's conditioning going on at this point in time.
Well, he's been conditioned all along. You can bet that the Taliban tried to condition him. If he was mentally ill when they first found him, it's probably true that he was easily conditioned. Right? And then, again, this guy, 5 years in a Taliban jail, and 5 years when his own army didn't come try to rescue what may be a wounded warrior.
And those five guys, you think they're old, fat, and sassy? Well, we have a caller. Let's see what Yvonne has to say.
They're gone 12 years is what I'm trying to make. They've been in that jail
for 12 years. Yeah, but they admire their elders. It is different. I believe totally different, and I think they will still have the connections and so forth.
They have the connections, but they're not likely to be the guys who are out shooting and bombing and whatever.
No, they have other peons to do that. They're not going to lose their lives by going to war, but they will.
I'm just saying they are not necessarily a big deal. Maybe they are, maybe
let's
they're
see
not.
See what Ivan has
but
to
if
say.
They are important, then we really have to wonder, did Obama, was his intention to rescue Sergeant Bergdahl, or was his intention to release five important Taliban prisoners?
See, when I think everybody's looking for a false flag, they probably flew. They probably picked up these five detainees on a Boeing 777 that was the Malaysian airplane and flew them over. And a year from now, they are released. Let's see what Ivan has
flight.
To say.
This is a different flight, Melody.
Let's see what Ivan has to say.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just want to mention in a kind of a broad brush approach. I remember from Second World War, that there were prisoners of wars and a lot of people who were fighting on the East Front, the Germans, Slovaks, Hungarians, and I met quite a few who came back after so many, few years in POW camps. And there was no PTSD or PTSD, at least on them. I mean, they were not crazy, they were not nutty, they went back.
No, not everybody flips out, but some people do.
But what I'm saying
I think it's legitimate.
I think to some degree, but maybe they were more disciplined or whatever. I don't know what the difference would be. But, if Bergdahl was had a problem, a mental problem, they took him into the service with that already, that he had, maybe he wasn't as nutty as he pretended to, as he became or whatever. From the news, now there are two things which I like to just point out, that they still don't know about the note,
They don't know about what?
About the note he left behind.
Oh, the note?
Some newspapers, Fox or some of them did not indicate that that was the case. And secondly, what Melody said, that there were about six people who did die because of searching and trying to free him.
No, not searching to try to free him. They were searching to try to find him. It was not when they knew that he had been captured. It was they thought he wandered out into the desert and they were looking for him. All right, and in the process of looking for him, some people blame their deaths, but even that, one of the articles said that the evidence is unclear that those allegations are correct. All right,
they had a mother, one of the lieutenants who got killed, and she said that, she's blaming Birdo for, that he left for her son's death. She was on,
all right, so she's on a TV program or whatever, and she's blaming Bergdahl. And that's not surprising on one level. But if she thinks he was a deserter, I can understand why she would say that. But I'm simply saying that if the information in the New York Times is accurate about this note, and he said he's leaving to start a new life, what did he think he was going to go do? Surf on the beaches of Afghanistan or something? I mean, this is crazy talk. Nobody goes to Afghanistan to start a new life. That's crazy. The guy's got to be off his nut.
You know, there was
if that's the case, but I don't know if it was confirmed or not. But anyway,
a lot of this won't be confirmed. But everybody's got an interest in this. I mean, the Army stands to be, they got a problem. If this guy was mentally ill and they didn't go find him, they knew where he was, they're going to have a very serious problem explaining this. They need to show that this guy is, that he was a genuine deserter and he wasn't mentally ill. I mean, at least that's an ideal situation. They might not be able to prove it, but it's going to have to go that way. If it turns out he really was mentally ill, how do they explain that they didn't go rescue him? Somebody's couple of careers are going to come to an end. A couple of military careers are going to come to an end unless they can try him as a deserter. And now he gets out of 5 years in a Taliban jail, and then what? He's going to probably, if he gets tried as a deserter, maybe he's going to do what, 5 years in Fort Leonard Wood or something? This guy is going out of the frying pan and into the fire. He is, in my estimation, a peculiar tragedy. I mean, this guy can't catch a break. Mental illness, maybe?
I agree with you on that point, that if that would be the case, I think that... They, like you said, they need to either define, and I'm sure they can define if he's mentally stable or not. After he gets, they said that he wasn't looking too well when he arrived in Landstuhl.
He looked fine to me. He looked fine to me.
No, I looked at the man's face when he got out of the vehicle and the rest of that. If I'd been captured for 5 years and today was the day I was getting out, on my face.
No.
I'd be ready to dance. I'd be ready to boogie.
Not if you were leaving a place that you wanted to be. You know, he had a beard prior. He probably was just fresh shaven and haircut.
You do what you have to do to survive under those circumstances. And
if you're mentally ill, you wouldn't know how to survive under those circumstances.
People are mentally ill who are not incompetent. Right, just because people are mentally ill doesn't mean they're completely incompetent.
Well, writing a letter tells you that you're mentally ill, you would be incompetent.
No, you're just not hitting on all eight cylinders. You're not thinking correctly. But it doesn't mean that you can't think correctly about some things. You can still fix breakfast. You can still feed
yourself. I think we blame mental illness on too many things in this country.
No, this looks like a legitimate deal to me. I'm not making apologies for this guy. I'm not here to advocate his case, advocate for or against him. I don't know him. It's not my point. I'm just saying, this guy, they have simply had more than he could handle over in Afghanistan, and he flipped out. And he wanders. One of the descriptions is he wandered off the base. And they use the word wandered, which just strikes me as bizarre. This guy just wasn't hitting on all the cylinders. He has to know that as an American, he goes out into Afghanistan, and he's likely to be killed. I mean, he's lucky that the Taliban kept him as a prisoner and they didn't kill him. He was just walk around with a
good point.
Hi guys.
For five years.
Huh?
That's a very good point that they didn't kill him. Why? Maybe because they didn't want to.
Because he's a
maybe because he's one of them.
He's become a political pawn.
I think that the other thing is that they always can use him as a pawn for. I mean, yep. Israel exchanges for one guy maybe 10 or 15 Palestinian people. You know, I mean, it's done. You know, many countries do it. It's not just U.S., but. Many countries do
it. Finally, point and bring
hey,
the story
here's
up.
Here's an article out of the Washington Times, and they said the terrorists may have staged video of the haggard POW to fool the U.S. There was a series, I saw this briefly, I think it was called Homeland. Is it Homeland? And they had actually this whole scenario actually played out in this series to where there was a captured military man, a POW, that was exchanged for people that were in Gitmo, and he was trained to come back to the States, and once he was released, he was there to raise havoc because he had actually been indoctrinated into their culture, into their lifestyle. And this was actually a series on a program. I don't know how long ago the program was, months ago.
Manchurian Candidate kind of deal. That's, you know, we've had those stories. They go back to, again, the Manchurian Candidates back in the 1950s or 60s.
But the scenario,
it's not a new concept. But the point is if you catch somebody, keep them in a box for 5 years, what is it that you can't teach him to do? Is this guy a willing participant or is he a victim?
Wheel.
You know, I don't believe the military itself said they knew where he was. They knew how many guards were around him.
But if they did know where he was, then you know, it certainly would put a different picture on the whole scenario.
It creates a lot of political problems. Right now, Obama's taking all the heat on this. But the time is coming when the military may be the entity, the institution that's going to take the heat in the Bergdahl story. We'll watch and see how it works out.
I don't believe there is.
But it's not clear what's going to happen yet, but it may not be as cut and dried as some folks think. We're out of time, folks.
There is a closed-door meeting with the Senate today. Obama's, they're supposed to be behind closed doors, private meeting.
And the other thing is, are we going to ever know the real truth?
We got to go. We're out of time, Yvonne. Okay. I want to thank all of you for listening to the program. Thank you for the call, Yvonne. Melody and I will be back mañana. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer, and Yvonne. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day.